Praise God. It's beautiful. I said, Ash, can you make Jesus a birthday cake this year again, and let's sing happy birthday to him and honor him? She said, what do you want on it, Dad? I said, I don't know, pray. And so she prayed. And last Wednesday night, as she was praying, I'll let her tell this, but she's a little bit shy. I'll pull something out of her here in a minute. But she came in service, and on Tuesday night, while I was in the middle of the night, I was kind of visited by the Holy Spirit, and he gave me a little picture. I was going to hold it for next year, and I'll probably do it next year as the Christmas devotion. But can I just sum up something for you real quick? The wise men, the magi that came from afar. I don't know if you know or not, but all of us were far off. See, separated from God. I mean, you can't get any farther off than I have been. And God made a way. The way he made a way was a light shone in the darkness, and those that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Bless me. And I started just getting the picture, you know. And then when Jesus was born, and this is what he did, what the Magi were drawn to was the sign in the heavens. God is the one that put the sign in the heavens. If you don't know what the sun and the moon and the stars are for, they're all for the glory of God. They're all to tell the story of the glory of God. There's the light that shines in the day. There's the light that shines in the night. And then there's all these little lights. They're really big lights. They just don't know it. They look like little lights, but they're... Do you know that most... I don't have time to talk about this now. But see, those little ones that you see up there, they're tremendous. Little lights in the darkness, they're tremendous. And this one light's shown, and then watch, it even moves. So they're drawn to it. They're made aware of the birth of the king by it. And then the light moves. It's on the move. And it gets over the very stable where Jesus was born. And it stops right there. So it points exactly to him. I mean, it progressed. It moved, changed places until it got right to the place where he was. And it shone right there. And I don't know if you understand how you came to him or not. We who were far off. I started understanding something. I just started doing a quick word study and through my Bible. You know how we do. I don't know if you do it or not. I just, okay, stars. Show me what a star is, Lord. And so I did quick. And then I went to the Bible and I said, okay, concordance. Show me stars. And you know what? Stars are little lights that shine by night. They're called night lights. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord's rising upon you. Though darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, the light of the Lord, where's it shining? It's shining on you. Come on. Get excited with me here. So I did that. Next, after you made the stars, what did you do next time stars are in the scripture? I want to see. Anybody know? Abraham's barren and old and hopeless with an old and a barren wife, and she's hopeless. And God says, Abraham, this is the word of God comes to him, says, Abraham, I'm going to give you children. And they're going to be like the sand of the sea and like the stars of the heaven. Come on, I'm going to hook you up here with a revelation about... This is more than just a devotion. This is a revelation about the stars of the heaven, the night lights of God. And your destiny is to lead somebody to Jesus. Your destiny is to shine in the night and progress and move and change until you're right over the place where he is. Come on, I'm prophesying over you. Do you hear me or not? As he is, so are you. There you are. Conform to his image. Oh God, be it unto us today according to your word. And And it brought people who were far off to him. Well, so I'm going on with my word study. Okay, stars, stars, creation, stars, Bible, places where stars are. Vernacular, the word star. Who knows what, in today's language, somebody says, do you know any stars? So you can rattle off some names that, stars. Come on, this is right out of the Wikipedia. Just pull it in. Because vernacular stars are not the stars up there in the heaven. They're the, you know what they are? They're people of influence that are shining over the lives of other people. And God's got a new breed of stars. Praise God. And it's not that Hollywood bunch. It's those that have come from afar off and are now shining with the very glory of God. So I said, Ashley, let's do. And so I said, anyway, that was my devotion on Tuesday night. Ashley prays on Wednesday, and she comes to church on Wednesday night. So I gave a quick little synopsis of the star thing on Wednesday night. And she goes, wow. Because she heard in her prayer time, she says, make me a star cake. And she said, well, I've never seen a star cake for Christmas. She said, I don't even know how to make a star cake, but she did a wonderful job. It says, glory to the newborn king. Wind of the Holy Spirit. We wish that all men everywhere would see you and know you. Come on, we made our wish here, the body of Christ. Blow with me, wind of God. Blow. There we go. Oh, whoo. Thought you had one of those trick ones on me. Praise God. I'll come back to you in a minute. Tell them a little bit what you told me.
Okay. So, like Dad said, I was praying about it, and I just heard that I was supposed to do a star. I was like, okay, whatever. And I couldn't really think of, like, what to do for the star. And I just heard him say, do the new craze. And I was like, what? So I prayed about it some more. And this design on the cake, it's a new cake craze. It's called Fault Lines. And so while I was praying about it, I was like, but why should I do that? And he said, because I see the beauty in your faults. So,
it's a fault line. Isn't that great?
That's all I got.
Oh, cool.
Where do you want that?
Anywhere back there. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that cool? Oh, thank you. Can I take just a minute now, and I'd like to visit with you. I'd like for you to feedback. I want to ask you a question. Has there been some stars in your life? See, I love this little revelation so much because the stars weren't – the star evidently wasn't always on target exactly. It started over here, and it moved to the play – very place where he was. Has anybody shown in your life and helped you and brought you to him? Can we just take a couple of minutes and do you know what I'm asking you? People of influence, people who have shone with the light of God's glory for the purpose of bringing you to him. Amen. Who'd like to give a quick testimony, anybody? Come on. Now, I thought everybody'd say their hand up. Yes.
Quite a few years ago, I met a girl. I was going to college at night, and she was there, and she'd had a brain tumor and had surgery, but she was a really strong Christian. And she was the first one. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Did you see that light shining?
Yeah, I did. I did. The light shining in the darkness.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. And then there's been so many since then. Wanda and Greg, you know. Pat and Mary, well, of course, you and Candy. You know, there's just,
I couldn't name them all. You know, they've been there along the way. So I'm very grateful. Thank you, God. Yeah.
The purpose of this is to, I want to motivate you to say, if I'm shining a little bit, and if somebody can see something now, I'm going to get closer until I'm right over the place where he is.
So I was so impacted back in 1972 when I came to Olathe from Ohio. At the workplace, there was one fella in particular who stood out, and he was a light, a bright light in that dark place, and he kind of took me under his wing, and we went to church. He invited me to church, and it was through that I came to salvation. But then it's subsequently, it's been you, Pastor, who has helped me into the fullness of my relationship with him.
Bless your heart. Rather than maybe speaking one name, because that would be endless, but what was coming to mind was, you know, the thought of you look up at the stars and you see these stars that fit together, the Orion or whatever, that make a picture, and just thinking about how God brings these stars together, these individual stars, and yet orders them together in patterns together. And I just think about, you know, as I look across this room, I mean, it's full of stars, and there's certainly some that have been maybe more particular for my life in particular. At the same time, just standing back and looking at all the individual lights, how you all just shine together, and that beautiful picture. So bless you all.
Hallelujah. It's cool, huh? I'm afraid I was afraid he's going to say I was the Big Dipper. Who? Anybody else want to? I just quick testimony for me is I have just a few I just want to give thanks for publicly. My dad is a star in my life, got star status. AJ Rowden got star status in my life. RJ Houghton got star status in my life. These are all, none of these men were perfect, but all of them had a hunger for God, and they were all moving toward him, and they brought me to Jesus to him, and I'm so thankful. Amen.
I had a lot of influences. My mother was very strong, but didn't pay much attention to her, though. And then I had an influence from my cousin and her husband. They were about 40 years old, and them and their daughter went forward and accepted the Lord, and it changed their life. That had a real impression on me. And, of course, Gary and Candy, but the one I'd like to talk about is Gary's dad. We went fishing a lot, and you couldn't go fishing with Linda without hearing about Jesus, and I'll always remember that.
Want to cut anybody short? Anybody want to just recognize somebody? All right, praise God. Amen, Brother Mike. Come on up here, Mike. It's your turn anyway. Mike and Sharon have had a rough couple of weeks, but the grace of God is more than enough for us, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. And Sharon's been in the hospital. Mike's been in for a little quick thing, but he's doing great. Sharon's here today, and things, her heart's adjusted, and her life's in the hands of a wonderful, loving God. Amen. Couldn't be safer. Praise God. We love you guys.
Who is in complete control of our lives? 100%. You're asking about star. When we came out of Colorado, ended up on that farm, and we were in the Catholic Church and Holy Trinity, and then we kind of got away from that, and our daughter Kathy said, well, there's this church that this friend of mine goes to. I think her last name was Marcy. And it's out on Ridgeview or somewhere, and all they do is praise God and study the Word. I said, where's that? And so we went to Liberty Chapel, and that next Sunday, and we got outside. We're standing in the parking lot, and the girls are looking at me and said, well, what do you think? I said, well, it can get larger than this, because I've been to a lot of Copeland meetings and Hagen meetings and so forth. I said, it can get larger than this, but it doesn't get any better than this. And that was a long time ago. And that began a journey that God has really blessed us. So, Pastor, you're a big star in my life. Pastor has Jesus' testimony. It's not he who speaks. It's the Father within him that speaks. And that's the testimony that we're to have, because he sets the example. But the reality is we're no different. We're all Spirit-filled children of the Most High God. And God is using us in different ways. 3 weeks ago, I woke up on the floor of a hotel room not realizing that my heart had stopped for 6 seconds. Thought I had indigestion or something, I guess. I don't know. The Holy Spirit told me just to get back in bed and read the Bible. And I started hearing my cell phone and laying in my bed reading Gospel of John, and fell off to sleep and got up the next day and taught 2 classes at a company there in Salina, and drove back in the dark at 75 miles an hour on I-70, not realizing that God was completely in control, as always. But anyway, and then just before Thanksgiving, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the heart cardiologist called and said, that loop recorder that you wear, they picked up an event, and you need to come in here, and we need to put a pacemaker in. And so the following week, that was done. And I told the doctor, could we put that off until I get back from all this traveling? And he says, I don't think so. And so he just moved his schedule around. And so I went through that on Thursday of that week, and on following Monday, left town and went to New York. And been traveling nonstop ever since. I was in Seattle last week. So it's God. And the last couple of weeks, as I've been traveling, the Lord and the Holy Spirit led me back to reading a book that Greg and Mike Collins had introduced me to a couple of years before, Cosmos Reborn. And it is a challenging book that really challenges back to who you are in Christ Jesus and the reality of who we are. And it kicks religion out the door and gets right into relationship. And so the Holy Spirit said, so that's what you're supposed to give as a Christmas present to your children. And so I ordered a bunch of books. And how many have read Cosmos Reborn? Several of you? Good. You need to read it again. I'm going to have some extra copies next week when it gets in. I'll leave them up in the back. Anybody that has never read it, just pick up a copy. So as I was asking the Holy Spirit what I'm supposed to say this morning, he just brought me back to the scripture that's just the very first scripture that's in that book, and it's 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then as I was studying that yesterday afternoon, the Holy Spirit just led me to bang, bang, bang scriptures. Let's read that again. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and committing to us the word of reconciliation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. The world. That's everybody. The world is the Lord's, the people therein. The earth is the Lord's, the people therein. Was Psalm 24, something like that. Anyway, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who simply believes in him just believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through him might be saved. And then it went to Romans 10, that if you simply confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and just believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved. And then to Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And since it was Christmas, Holy Spirit led me right to Luke, because the incarnation, you know, God coming to dwell in man is Jesus and us. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born today, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And he will be a sign, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There's nothing you can do to offend God, because God doesn't just love you. God is love. God is love. And anything that you've ever done doesn't mean a thing to him, because he's already sent his son to pay the price so you can have that relationship with him. It's something that Christmas is really all about. You want to Merry Christmas? You know what Christmas means? Christ Mass. You know what the Mass is about? Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. That's what the Mass is all about. I was raised Catholic. I studied to be a priest. I know that. Okay, so that's neither here nor there. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What that means, if you want to give someone a Christmas present, then encourage them to change the way they think and start thinking as God thinks. Change the way they think. You want that in a simple word, it means repent. Repent doesn't mean beating your chest saying, "Oh, my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault." Repent means change the way you think. So the only way you can do that is with this, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, who will reveal this to you. So if I was going to give the best Christmas present I could possibly give to anyone, I would say simply, let the Holy Spirit take this and reveal who you are to others. Because Christ in you, their hope of glory, I mean, you carry Christmas. You carry the incarnation. You are the incarnation. You're a child of the Most High God. You may not feel like it, but that's irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is what he has said. Okay? Jesus is the Word of God. God is love. So glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. What a blessed... Just picture yourself there as a shepherd hearing that. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? The good news is you don't have to do a thing. It's not based on performance. It's based on what God's already done through Jesus. All you have to do is accept it and then just let him manifest himself through you to others. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is. Hallelujah, right? Whew, man. Mike, you taught me to... You put that Cosmos Reborn in my... Can you come up here and help me receive the offering, please? This was in the offering. Happy birthday, Jesus. That's cute. Father, we just come before you to just say thank you. We just say thank you for that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus. And Jesus loved us so much that he just stood in the gap for us. And we just thank you that both of you sent the Holy Spirit so he could reveal all that to us so we can tell others about him. So, Lord, we just ask you to take this offering and to take these tithes and these offerings today and just use them in a way that's unique and only you can use them. Just multiply them. But what the end result will be, people will come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you,
Mike. Somebody want to catch those lights in the back so you can see these pictures a little bit more clearly? I'm going to take a minute and just show you what some of the stuff that was going on here Friday night. We had a Christmas dinner and had a lot of fun around the Life Center. Santa came, visited, bringing good gifts, and we had a couple of 400-pounders sitting trying to get on that knee there. We're running off copies of all these, and we'll be handing them out. So if you were one of the ones that chose to get your picture taken with Santa, then we'll have those pictures for you. Amen. All right, thank you. I'm going to let our children go right now for just a few minutes. Mike has a Christmas devotion he's going to share back there with any of you children that would like to go back and hear a Christmas story. You're welcome to go right now. And then you won't stay too long. He's going to dismiss you and come back in. So come back in whenever you're done and join us. Let me just remind you, around that Christmas tree in the back, there's a lot of small little bags, and Candy and I, if you'll hold off, don't sneak out early unless you have to. Let us get back there first, and we'd like to put something in your hands and wish you a Merry Christmas. So we'll be back there at the end of the service to give everybody a gift and just speak a Christmas blessing over your family. One of the things I wanted to just brag on my daughter-in-law a little bit, because one of the things that's in that bag, there's a Christmas bag for you. Got a real good Hillsong Christmas CD that I ordered this year, and that's one of the gifts that's in there. But I asked Ashley if she'd get ready some Christmas cookies, and boy, did she outdo herself. You can't see all that up close, but in here, it's just a beautiful little cookie, and then it says "Gift from God" on it, and "Happy Birthday, Jesus," and cakes and cookies and those kind of things that you have. She's the one to go to. All right, praise God. Are you ready? Here's our Christmas devotion: the significance of His birth. And, of course, we know that Jesus came, and how many of you are glad that he came? Now, but I want to share with you that, see, it will grow in you. There's more to it than you will get just with surface understanding. This growing thing, we shared that, that one song, how it starts off as just maybe blowing in the wind. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. And then it gets stronger and grows and develops. And before long, you realize there's a heartthrob inside of you, the very heartbeat of the Lord, and you start to grow and become aware of not only who he is, but who you are in him. And you can't separate these two. Oh, thanks be to God that because of his great love, it says nothing can separate. So when you think of him, you have to think of you. You in relation to him. Because the two have been made what? The two have been made one. Amen. It's hard to say Greg without saying Greg and Wanda, isn't it? Isn't it? You just can't say Eldo. Can you hardly? It's Eldo and Iris. You got that, don't you? And can I just tell you the same things with you? You just can't say Jesus. He has linked himself inseparably with you. Amen. Now, I'm going to share with you this morning some of the mystery. This is everybody has their forte, and I'm not called to be a great big hotshot preacher. But I'm called to release some mystery seeds in the Word of God. And here's one of those wonderful seeds of the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the significance of his birth, we're going to talk about these things today, the parallels of Christ and his body. Now, the verse that I want to remind you of, first of all, from 1 Corinthians says that now we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. Guess what kind of glass that is? If you were to look up that word, you know, it's not like looking through a window. If you look through a window, you just see what's on the other side. But what kind of glass do you think this is? Does anybody know? It's a mirror. It says it's a looking glass, darkly. And when it says darkly, it means that, you know, you're going to have to watch a little bit to get it. Did you ever look into something and see it darkly? I think maybe. Are you able to make that out? Mike Collins was back there earlier, and he was asking me. He said, "Who's Santa up there in that?" And I was saying, "Well, you don't know." And he said, "No, I don't know." I said, "Well, I'll give you a hint. I was kissing him, and there's not many Santas I'm going to kiss." And he said, "Boy," he says, "I got to get my eyes worked on." He said, "Oh, I'm starting to see it now." Anyways, look through a glass darkly. I just want you to understand, you don't understand who you are, but it's clearing up. Oh, praise God. I know this is going to be probably a cliche as we get into the teaching for the new year, but wouldn't it be wonderful if God would, for the year 2020, give us 2020? You know what I'm talking about? Clear up our vision, Lord. Let us see you for who you are. Let us see us for who we are in you. Now we see through a glass darkly. Now, when I said we see through a glass darkly, he wants you to look back and see. And so what you're seeing, if I was to put a mirror up in front of me right now, and I look into this mirror, look into this glass, I wouldn't see you on that side. What would I see? I'd be seeing what's behind me right here. Now watch, this is one of the mysteries of the gospel. So many of the things that you think might happen out here have already happened. They're already fulfilled by Christ in you. Amen. All right, praise God. All right, if you can start to receive that. Now I'm going to show you a number of things as we go through the significance of Jesus' birth. Okay, what's next? This is the parallels now between Jesus. Thanks to my daughter Jerusha for helping give us these graphics so that we can learn together. The parallel between Jesus and the church. And don't forget, what we see through a glass darkly. And so and you'll get it as we go along. First of all, John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." How many of you know who that Word is? It's Jesus, isn't it? He's the Word of God. Now it says, "In the beginning was the Word of God." Now, what next thing I wanted to share with you, because somebody says, "You mean Jesus had a beginning?" So I wanted to share with you that word "beginning" there doesn't mean beginning like you think. It's a, you know, when you put two words together, you put a prefix on a word, and this word beginning has a prefix on it. It's F-O-R-E. So it's not the front. If I was to say, you know, come in my front door, well, that's the beginning of my house. But Jesus doesn't have a beginning. It's when it says in the beginning was the word, it says in the forefront was the word. It means he was before the beginning. See, all of us have a beginning, but he doesn't have a beginning. Amen. So in the forefront, he already was. So the reason what I'm sharing with you now is you have to get this understanding, the preexistence of the Lord. Did you know that Jesus was before he was born? Some people, that was a surprise to. They didn't know. They thought Jesus had his beginning when he was born. But Jesus was, and he was in heaven. It says the God searched through heaven to find one that was worthy to be the sacrifice to pay for the sin of mankind. And there was one found worthy. Amen. And that's God's Son, Christ Jesus. And so he's the one that came. Now, when I talk about the preexistence of the Lord and the significance of that, the teaching this morning is the significance and the parallels between Christ and his body. I want you to get this. Now, when we talk about the preexistence of Jesus, I understand that. But some can I here's the mystery. Let's look in the mirror. You want to look in the mirror with me? Let's look in the mirror and see it. Praise God. The preexistence of you in Christ Jesus. Did you know that he knows you before you know him? I'll say it again to you. He knew you. How about the gift of love? Remember this? He said, herein is love, not that we loved him. We thought it started right there. That's where my relationship with him started, wasn't it, when I decided to love Jesus. He said, herein is love, not that you loved us, not that you loved him, but that he loved you and set his affection upon you before you even knew him. Isn't that wonderful? I'm talking about preexistence. If you don't listen, Ephesians chapter 1 says this, that before you knew him, guess what? He knew you. You thought it all started right there, didn't you? But he knew you. Thanks be to God. Says he knew you. There's some words that people stumble at. I don't mind sharing them with you at all. It says, not only were you, same prefix, foreknown. See? Foreknown. But you were predestined. Pre is another. Everybody say pre. See that little prefix? Prefix. That's when you put something in front of fix. He put something before you got fixed. See this? Do you know Psalm 139 says this? It says that while you were yet not, he just didn't start this when you were in your mother's womb. It says, when you were yet unformed. You didn't have any form yet. He knew you, and not only knew you, but all your days were recorded in his book when as yet there were none of them. Ephesians 2:10, Mike read it a minute ago, said that you're Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. Some of you just need to relax and become who you are. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, I don't want to go to church because of all the hypocrites in there. I said, man, I don't want to stay out of church because of all the hypocrites out there. In other words, he was saying there's more good people out there than there is in there. Well, if there are, then why don't they just get honest and get in here? Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of you have got some friends that if they just relax, they'd be drawn. You know, I know there's built-in resistance to it, but I'm talking about being the pre-existence. Did you see the parallel right here? Look in the mirror, and you see that as Jesus was already with God, then God already has a plan for us before we even know it. Let's do next. When Jesus, how many of you are glad Jesus was born? Now let me share. See, I shared a minute ago, some people didn't know Jesus was before he was born. But he was born on purpose. He was born on purpose. God sent him on purpose. And when he was born, now if one who's already is born, what you might call that? He was rebirthed or born again. And if you don't like the word again, because you know he wasn't born the first time in the way we think of born, then let's say he was born. Another way we say when it comes to us is we say he was born from. Now watch this. I'm gonna play with you a little bit. For us, in John 3, he says, you must be born again. And some more modern and correct translations say you must be born from above. That means you were born, what, the first time from beneath. Now you must be born from above. Now, remember the mirror? Come on. What do you see in the mirror? See, it's the reverse. Watch. Because Jesus, where is he? Is he above or is he beneath? He was above. Come on. Come on. Think with me here. And when he was born, where was he born into? Beneath. Do you know why he was born in this place beneath? So he could prophesy over you and say, this is what I've come for. That you could be, come on, above only and not beneath. Man. You haven't got a cheddar, you'd be dancing. Because, do you hear? Isn't it wonderful? He was born again, only he was born from below. Look in the mirror. Come on, body of Christ, look in the mirror. When you get born again, you get born from above, from where he came from. Do you see the reversal? Do you see what's happening? I love the A-Team guys used to say, I love it when a plan comes together. Remember? Remember that old television show? You're not old enough, I guess. At the end of one of those, when everything came together, you know, it looked like they was going to get wiped out, said, I love it when a plan comes together. There's the Holy Spirit talking to the Father. They said, well, I love it when a plan comes together. Every time one of you turn around, come home. Hallelujah. Get born again. It says that's what he came for. He was born here so that you could be born from there. Amen. All right. Praise God. I'm having fun. I don't know if you are. The Word, you know what happened to the Word? Remember John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And what happened to the Word? And the Word became flesh. Amen. Now remember, let's go to John 3 again. You must be born again because that which is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. And when he said you must be born again, he said, I'm not talking about the flesh. Remember how one of them said, well, how can I be born again? Climb again into my mother's womb, that'd be being born again in the flesh. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you being born again of the spirit. In other words, watch, the Word became flesh so that you, come on, put it in the mirror. Put it in the mirror. So that you who've been trapped in flesh could become spirit. Come on, God's a spirit. Can't think with me for a minute because somebody says, if you have I have natural children and I have adopted children and I have spiritual children. And my natural children, you can spot them in a minute. Jerusha's working on a deal right now. She's got all 12 of, she's got me and Candy and our 12 kids. And you ought to see them all. And boy, I can see man, that one there. I looked in there the other day and I couldn't hardly tell. Except I'm a little fatter. I couldn't tell the difference between me and Gary. Said, look at there. Because he looks like me. And then I've got some other kids that they don't look so much like me, but they act like me. Some of them are mean like me. Some of them are ornery like me. So, some of them love God like me. Some of them worship like me. And then I've got spiritual children that follow after. And do you understand what I'm talking about now? I'm talking about when the flesh becomes spirit. See, we all start off down here. All of us have sinned, come short of God's glory. Amen. Praise God. I've already lost it on my notes, so might as well forget about that. We're moving from, he went from spirit to flesh. That's what I was telling you. God's a spirit. So if he has a child, What kind of child does he have? Spirit child. But that spirit child became flesh, so that his children who were flesh, do you hear me, could become spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And you who were once have been made. See? All right, thanks to the Lord. Let's look in the mirror. Life, see, that's why he came. I've come that you might have life, because life's in him. He's the giver of life, isn't he? He says, and life came into death, so that death could come into life. Now, you understand what kind of death we're talking about, don't you? Adam and Eve, don't sin. If you do, and when you do, you'll surely die. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And they were separated from God. That's what death is. And life came into death. Now watch, so that death could come into life. Do you understand the power of the resurrection? Oh, yeah, I get it. See, Jesus was raised from the dead. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, that's a good starting place. Let's learn our ABCs, eh? Well, you didn't learn too much, did you? You got the A. Come on, church. I'm going to talk to you about the power of the resurrection. Said the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. What do you know about it? Dwells in you. To bring you up out of that death. Do you know what it says in the book of Revelation? It says that he became dead and then was raised up from the dead, and then he led captivity captive. In other words, there's a progression of all those that were separated one by one, everybody in their season, everybody in their order. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, every man in his own order. Nope, another one popped up. Nope, another one popped up. The reason you pop out is so you can pop up. Come on, church. You might as well smile. Death comes into life. Praise be to God. Listen to this. He who knew no sin. Tell me something about it. Tell me something about him. He who knew no sin. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin. Why? So that you who knew no righteousness could become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, put it in the mirror. Did you get it in the mirror? When they went out and started preaching this, how did they describe it? They preached this and it turned the world what? Turned the world upside down from their vantage point, right side up from his. He's the restorer of everything. He restores my soul. Amen. Oh, praise God. So he who knew no sin becomes them. Tell me, let's work on this side, because some of you, I want you to get it. Oh, I so desperately want you to get it today. We who know no righteousness, you got to understand this. In me dwelleth. This is the doctrine of total depravity that you have to understand. Some people don't like it, you know, because they say, I'm a good person. I know you try to be a good person, but you're rotten to the core, worse than Krabby Appleton. Yeah. Because you know, you believe God's word or not? There is, how many righteous? None righteous. Listen, didn't get it the first time. No, not one. For all have sinned. Somebody says, no, I keep almost all of them. You know, I slipped up a couple times. But he says, if you broke one, you broke them all. So is there any hope for you at all? Not outside of him. But with him, hallelujah, look at this. This is what he's done for you. But see, if you don't, you won't appreciate it unless you understand I have absolutely no hope without him. Jesus came to his, even the, his close followers who had followed him for 3.5 years and said, guys, you better get this quick. Without me, you can do, come on, nothing. There's absolutely no hope for you. You can't do it. But with me, all things are possible. Hallelujah. And I'm with you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, did you know heaven came to hell? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down. Heaven opened up. Said, open heaven. The cry went up. Said, God, would you open heaven? Open heaven. Listen to this. You long-standing doors and obstacles, open up that the King of glory may come in. And the King has come in. Do you know why the King has come in? Come on, yes. See, that's just the history part of it. And if you don't get this energized and activated in you. I never will forget, I know you've heard this story too many times, so I won't tell it long. I'll tell it short. We had a contest one time. We were so bored in study hall that some of us guys, we took an Alka-Seltzer tablet, and we wanted to see who could hold it in their mouth the longest. Some of you don't even know what Alka-Seltzer is. But we had four guys lined up there, all sitting at the same table. We all had an Alka-Seltzer tablet in our mouth to see who could hold it the longest. If you've never had an Alka-Seltzer, boy, it's just, you put it in a little water, it starts bubbling. Teacher there was real scared at first because the first one just blew and foam went all over the place. She thought he was foaming at the mouth and he's having some kind of a fit or something. Until the rest of us started all foaming at the mouth too. Now, what was my point here? What am I telling you that for? That which is in you. See, if you have it historically, if you have it mentally, the living breath of God, the living water, will set that to motion, and it'll become too much for you to contain. And forgiveness will start pouring out of you like foam did in my mouth. It wasn't just my mouth, my nose. I know you don't want to picture this, but big old bubble. Burn. Oh, man. Until you just can't hold it anymore and you release it and it blows all over everybody. And the presence of God, what he's done inside you, who he is, and if you just not know about it, but it comes to life inside you, activated by the Holy Spirit, God, would you come do that in our lives today for a world that so desperately needs life? Thank you, Lord, that heaven came to hell. If you don't know what hell is, I'm not talking about the Gehenna hell, the lake of fire. I'm talking about the hell that is in the Old Testament called Sheol, in the New Testament called Hades. If you don't know what that place is, it's a place of torment. It's a place where people are being tormented and don't even know why. It's a place of hopelessness and a place of despair. It's a place probably everybody in this room has visited. And it's a place that still comes to knock on your door and tries to get its grip on you. But thank God heaven came into hell. Life came into death. Heaven came into hell. The reason that heaven came into hell is so that hell, separation, could come into heaven. And here we are rising up out of the depths of despair. You know, see, you don't get it, do you? Jonah said, he described it, he said, I was totally swallowed up. Says it was eating my flesh right off of my body. I was totally in the, and he called it. I was in the depths of Sheol. And God brought me out on a shore to preach the gospel. Praise God. Come on. King David said this. He said, you have brought me up out of an horrible. Come on, say horrible. Some people are still suffering with that. Listen. And you see, it's not. I want you to understand something. We're not preaching this kind of gospel that says, listen, every one of your little problems and big problems and serious things are all going to be taken away. I'm telling you this, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the way that he swallows that up, sometimes there's an outward display where your situation changed, but whether you see that or not, you're changed, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, and greater is he that's in you, and you can't be brought down. There's nothing that can now separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Heaven comes to hell so that, we'll turn that around, so that hell can come to heaven. Amen. And then listen to this. This is the last one, and we're almost done here. He descended. Did you know it? See, did he descend? How many of you know that he who descended also ascended? Thanks be to God. Everybody get the picture here now, because when he came down, I mean, he reached down low. Anybody know? See, I'm not talking about you, but the guy next to you. He reached down pretty low. Didn't he? How about those neighbors of yours? He reached down low. He descended. And he who descended also ascended. And when he ascended, guess what? He started giving gifts unto men. And people, listen to this, people who were tax collectors became priests. And harlots and streetwalkers became worshipers with names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and cursing, blaspheming fishermen became disciples and then apostles. And you who were have now become. Oh, thanks be to God. You know why he descended? So that he could ascend. And he, when he ascended, he didn't, come on, hallelujah, he didn't do it by himself. Amen, praise God. All right. Well, you got time for more? You got 5 more minutes? Okay, let's do the next one then. Okay. Now watch, these are parallels between Jesus and his church, and this is the mystery of the gospel. And how many of you, I never heard this before. Anybody hearing today, you know what you never heard before? This is the day of revelation, a day of very quickening of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you, some of you who get it, you'll never be the same again. Amen. Watch. See, I love that story when the angel came to Mary, don't you? And said, Mary, that's a real head-scratcher, isn't it? It's impossible for me to become pregnant. I've never been with a man. But she said, be it unto me according to your word. She just stood back and said, okay, I know it doesn't look like it can happen, but if that's what you say, then I'm going to believe it. Come on. Can you get the reflection of that? If you don't understand when the word that was spoke to her, because she, this is, you know what she did? She received the word of God. And you know how you got born again? Does anybody know? Even by the word of God, by believing that word. Amen. Praise God. Our kids are coming in. We're almost done. Here we go. The virgin birth. What's the significance of the virgin birth? I'm talking about the significance of the birth of Jesus. And is there any application for me? I some people have trouble believing that Jesus was born of a virgin because, you know, that's miraculous. They don't believe in the miraculous stuff. Well, you're in big trouble if you don't believe in the miraculous, aren't you? If you don't believe that he was born of a virgin, then how can you believe that you, who are corruptible, could be born again. Now, if you got the first part of the story, today get the second part of the story, because it's the same story. When you get there, it's not going to be two stories, because you're in him and he's in you. And the reason that the story is life for you is because it's not just his story, it's your story. Thanks be to God. I know it's too good to be true. Amen. But aren't you thankful that it's true? Praise God. Amen. The virgin birth is because he was born, and it wasn't the work of men. Your spiritual life is not the work of man. God did it all by himself. Said you thought, well, no, I made the decision. No, God made the decision. Who were born again, not of the will of man. I know, how many of you were taught that you got born again when you decided to? It says, but you were born not by the will of man, born again, but by the will of God. Now, I know it's important that you set yourself in agreement. Amen. You want me to tell you quick the difference and why I'm telling you that today? Because if it was all based on what you decided, then how many of you know you could undecide? Anybody ever have a bad day? Anybody ever have a doubt or a fear? God's not moved. Amen. It's not based on what you decide. It's based on what he decided. And he decided that you belong to him. Amen. Now, look what happens here. I'm talking about Jesus in the life of Jesus. When Jesus was born, remember that scene? What do you got? You got the shepherds, and you got the magi, and you got the shepherds were out on the hill. Remember? And the angels appeared to him. Said, hey, the Messiah is born. And they started singing their songs and rejoicing. And then all the manger scenes, you can't have a manger scene without having the angels behind, because the angels are there. The angels are rejoicing. At creation, the angels were rejoicing. The sons of God all applauded and clapped for God for joy. Now, New Testament time, jump in with me. In your life, are there any angels rejoicing? Can you think of a time in the New Testament when angels are rejoicing? Because there's only one time. Does anybody know when it is? It's every time a sinner turns to him and repents and comes to Jesus, the angels are rejoicing. Now, I don't know if you can put up the mirror or not, but that event is this event. His holy birth that caused them to rejoice. When you got born again, see, your new birth is that birth. It's a physical thing. Yeah, if you understand a little bit about physics, you'll get that that event is this event. Say, no, they're two events, aren't they? No, it's the one and the same. That which was is. Praise God. It's a secret. It's a mystery. You say, well, I'm celebrating that one. Oh, no, you're not until you celebrate this one. You can't celebrate that one without celebrating this one. Different? Oh, praise God. All right, almost done. Angels rejoicing. And then look at this. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's the house of bread. Bethlehem. And the house of bread. And you were born even by the word of God. The house of bread is, remember the miracle? Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And by receiving of the word of God, as many as received him. Everybody know what received means? It says Mary received the word of God. She took it within herself. She devoured it. Come on, take his word within yourself. Hold it in the deepest part of yourself. It's stronger than you are. Hallelujah. Amen. How was Jesus born? Isn't it? See, that's one of the great mysteries, isn't it? That the king was coming. They said they're all looking for a king. Never dreamed he's going to be born a babe. Just a couple of the prophets understood something about it. Said, no, he'll be a babe born. He's going to come to you as a little baby. And he was born a baby. And come on, New Testament, look in the mirror with me. You know what he calls you? What's that? First Peter 2, verse number 2 says, as newborn babes. Talking about who now? We're talking about him? Talking about that little baby in the manger? Or are we talking about you? You can't say one without saying the other. Did you hear me? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. This is a real mystery scripture. I don't get time to teach about this, but if you're ever discipling somebody, there's some people that think, you know, like when it draws that analogy as a newborn babe, you don't have to teach. How many of you know when the baby's born? I was watching, couldn't sleep in the middle of the night last night, turned on, and there was a nature show on and showed a rhino having a little baby rhino, little baby. The little baby rhino was bigger than me. Whoa. When the baby rhino was 3 hours old, he stood up. And guess what he went for? Went right over under that mother and started nursing. And because it's just inherent in him. Now watch this, because this is a mystery. Some of you need to understand this. Some think that because he uses that analogy as newborn babes, it doesn't say as newborn babes you're going to naturally desire the sincere milk of the word. This is a command. This is an imperative. An imperative sentence is when they put the parentheses in front of the verb and it has a little word in there that's implied, that's you. It's a command to you, you. So you have to understand this. Don't think for a minute that you're going to grow up in the Lord. Don't think you're going to get strong in the Lord all by yourself. And don't think, well, you know, he just put such a desire for his word in my heart. What? If you start to get into it, he will. It'll start growing in you. But you got to develop an appetite for that. And there's nobody that gets born again that has that natural desire. I just want to spend all day reading my Bible. But a command to you because he loves you. You, in parentheses, so you desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Come on, are you with me? I'm trying to help some of you today because some of you say, well, I just don't have that desire. It just doesn't ring with me. Well, it's not asking you if you'd like to. This is an imperative for you. You desire. You start desiring the sincere milk of the word. You say, I desire your word, O God. I desire understanding. I'm going to apply my heart to understanding. Okay, newborn babes. Next, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, wasn't he? And then last, he was put in a manger. Can I just tell you? When he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, it's a picture of the same thing. Those swaddling clothes were like the same clothes that he was wrapped in when they put him in the tomb. They're burial clothes, grave clothes. And if you don't know what I'm talking about now in the body of Christ, does anybody know what it is you're clothed with? And does anybody in here think you're going to get to take that with you when you go? The grave clothes stay. And we're wrapped in this garment. It's called a garment that you're wrapped in, this garment. The garment's from beneath, the spirit man's from above, and up out of the grave, here you come. And in that manger scene, that last picture that I gave you, parallels between Christ and his body. He was put in a manger. Does anybody know what a manger is? It wasn't just a nice little quaint setting, a nice little quaint baby bed. It wasn't a plain baby bed. It's a feeding trough for sheep. It's where the livestock came and where they fed. In order for them to eat, you know what has to be done? There has to be a, you know what Jesus said? He said, guys, I want you to come over here. I'm talking about mysteries today. It was a mystery for the disciples. He met with them last week of his life, and he said, he took bread. He said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Watch what I'm going to do with this. And he broke this bread. He broke it up. He broke it up. And then he said this, take and eat. Mystery, watch. this is my body broken for you. If you eat of this, you won't die. You can't just flash on and off being the body of Christ when it's applicable to you and when you understand it. I'm telling you, right now, you are the body of Christ. And if you don't understand what you're going through in your life, out of this brokenness, out of this broken body, life is released and people can receive. And God turns everything around. The broken body of Christ on the earth today is the great mystery. Praise God. Is that the last slide? Don't forget this, as he is, so are you in the world. I don't know where you're at in him. Are you that little tiny thing? Maybe you're just in that beginning stages. Okay, I'm starting to believe. Are you growing? Because see, it's all in him. Are you growing in stature? Amen. I want you to understand, as he is, so are you in the world. Everything you read about him, it can't be in him without being in you now. And if you say, well, I don't get that end part yet, don't worry about it. You get it when you get there. You see, you grow into some things. You can't get trig until you get algebra. Amen. Well, praise God. Wonderful news is Jesus. The wonderful news is Jesus there. The good news is Jesus here. The good news is Jesus there. Let me do it again for you. So everybody get me. He was there. Now he's here. So that you can be. One more time. He was there, wasn't he? We believe in him. Did God send him? Now he is here. So that we can be. I have come so that you can be with me where I am. He brings you up out of your despair. He brings you up out of your guilt. He brings you up out of your sorrow. Heaven is prepared for them that love him. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today for sending Jesus, our wonderful Savior. We tell you, Lord, we are so grateful. I take a moment now and pray for you at the point of your need today. It just wouldn't be right if we believed that God sent a gift and you didn't get it and open it. I pray for people that need healing today, because this is some of the gifting that you've given us, Lord. Gifts of healings. I pray for healing for your body. I pray for adjustment in your lungs and in your heart. I pray for your joints today. I pray for aches and pains. We resist the devil in Jesus' name. Speak to spirits of infirmity that have been long-standing plaguing people. Command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Take your hands off. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come. Minister healing. Let us open up the gift today. Now the gift of understanding, the gift of forgiveness. If you need to be forgiven and if you need to forgive others, you need to be forgiven first so that you can forgive others. Receive forgiveness today. Open up the gift. Receive it today. Don't live under that guilt anymore. Somebody says, but I deserve it. I know, but he took the payment for it. You don't pay for it again. He took the payment for it. Receive your cleansing today. Receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now would you open up your heart and let forgiveness flow? Let the love of God flow. You who don't feel like you're worth his great love, change your mind today. change your mind about it. Evidently, I must be because you sent it. Evidently, you must have seen something in me that I didn't see. So, Lord, I just come into agreement with your word saying you loved me. Before I loved you, you loved me. And because you loved me first, that's why today I can set my love upon you. And if I love you, then I love these. Come on. Have a look around here. If I love you, then I love these. Okay, open your eyes now. Look around. If I love you, then, Lord, I love these. Amen. Do you love them? Hallelujah. We love one another in Jesus' name. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Thanks to the Lord. Play whatever music you want to. And Kenya and I.
It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor at a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. Special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way to bigger things. No, 'cause these simple moments change the world. So dream small. Dream small. Keep loving, keep serving, keep listening, keep learning, keep praying, keep hoping, keep seeking, keep searching. Add up the small things and watch them grow bigger. The God who does all things makes oceans from rivers.